Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Malachi is the last book in our Old Testament canon. Though it was likely written down a couple of centuries before the Son of God was born into our world, it is a fitting segue between the Old Testament and the New. We do not know much about Malachi himself. His identity as a prophet remains hidden, and his name seems to be something of a pseudonym, like a stage name or something. The name was likely chosen by others who didn't actually know who the source of these writings was, and the name, Malachi, simply translates from the Hebrew to mean my messenger. This is a fitting name because Malachi was a messenger of things to come. He told the people that they should not get too comfortable with the status quo because changes were in the works. He prophesied about the restoration that God would bring down the road to make the people whole and secure once again, but also prophesied that this would be a painful process which would be difficult to live through. And as we read for this week, the messenger prophesied about another messenger that the Lord would be sending our way to prepare the way for the Lord's coming into the world. It is a common theme through human history that a messenger is sent forth to proclaim that big changes are coming before they actually happen. It seems like when big things and big problems happen around us, there are always messengers that arise to speak woe or favor upon one future direction or another. Then, when one of them seems to come to pass, we think, oh, hey, they called it right, even though most people didn't listen to him or her beforehand. From our own history, we can remember abolitionists arguing that we cannot truly exist as a free people if we enslave others, or Martin Luther King Jr. being martyred for the righteousness of his cause just within a few years of the Civil Rights Act being passed. The truth of the message often lives on and bears fruit after the messenger is gone. The unfortunate process of the messenger giving way before the message he or she speaks seems to be enshrined in these verses from Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? The messenger's arrival into the midst of the people would not be a welcome thing. He would not find hearts and minds open to changing and recognizing what God was doing around them. His arrival was a day to be feared, because most could not stand what was about to go down. His arrival was to be like a refiner's fire, in which the impurities from among the people would be burned off to leave the purer elements to thrive. Even if one was among the pure metals within the ore, he or she would still have to endure the fires that took care of the impurities around them. Not a pleasant experience. It would kind of be like having to vomit in order to get rid of your nausea. Sure, you feel better in the end, but the way there is truly unpleasant. John the Baptist ended up fitting this role of the messenger that Malachi prophesied about to a T. He called the religious leaders of his day a brood of vipers and implied that they should not be warned about any coming wrath because they should get what was coming to them. He called everyone to repentance, proclaimed that there was one coming after him who was far more righteous, worthy, and holy than he, and paid the ultimate price for the truth of his messages before he could see his Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, resurrected from the dead. He was indeed the messenger that came to prepare the way of the Lord, before he came and spoke like the refiner's fire, calling all to repentance before the Savior's arrival. It makes one wonder, though. Why do we need messengers at all? Wouldn't it be possible to envision a world in which everyone just understood the need to make a change, reflected on their mistakes, owned up to them, and made a diligent effort to actively repent of their sins in the future, without having crazy guys who eat bugs and wear camel fur order them around? Wouldn't it be possible that we could just recognize when God was coming amongst us to change the world for the better when it was happening, instead of being yelled at and derided for our shortcomings? Shouldn't it be possible that we could recognize the righteousness of God for ourselves without it being shoved in our faces? Well, maybe there's a world like that. But, at least in my experience, it is not the one we live in. I do not believe that the people would even have the faintest notion that God was walking among them if John the Baptist did not make it his life's work to declare this crucial message to the world. It is very possible that without John the Baptist, God could have been born among us and died silently without anyone so much as noticing that salvation had come to earth at last. We are finite creatures who often need a lot of prodding, and John the Baptist did that, even though he paid for his message with his life. Last night, I read a story to my children, adapted from the Greek Aesop's Fables. A fable features two frogs, one who lived in a marsh and one who lived on the road by making his watery home among the puddles that formed in the ruts on the path. The frog in the marsh had a home that was always wet and full of lily pads, bugs, and everything a frog could want. The situation was different for the frog on the road. Though he usually had water from the rain that would collect in the ruts where he lived, sometimes the sun came out and made his living situation pretty dicey. So, one particularly sunny day, when the puddles were quickly drying out, the frog in the marsh called to the one on the road and said, "Come, live with me in the marsh, where it is always wet and full of bugs for us to eat, just like we frogs love." But the frog in the road was not ready to give up his home on a whim, so he replied, "Thanks, but I have grown to like living up here in the road. I cannot leave it behind." The next day, it rained heavily for hours. Frog in the road was reassured that he had made the right choice and was excited to think that these puddles would last such a long time that he would not have to think about leaving and changing his life for weeks or even months, because there would be such big puddles. But just as he was reveling in the puddles swelling around him, a wagon came through and ran over the frog's leg, which made him unable to jump or swim ever again for the rest of his life. He now had enough water to live in, but lived in pain, regretting that he did not listen to the messenger who called him to change his ways. John the Baptist was kind of like the frog in the marsh. He lived on the truth of God's righteous love for the world, and made a career of calling upon people to repent, turn back to God, and in so doing prepare a way for the Lord to come and dwell among us. Unfortunately, like the frog in the road, too many of us get stuck in our ways and end up unwilling to see what God is doing all around us. It is easy to spend vast amounts of time and energy living in unhealthy situations like the frog, because we are unwilling to be uprooted from the ways that are familiar to us and comfortable. John the Baptist knew better, and called the people to turn away from themselves and turn toward their Creator and their neighbors. In doing so, they would not miss the Savior who was living and working among them to make the world whole again. There will always be messengers in our world, sent to call our attention to the needs of the brokenness that is all around us. Honestly, like John the Baptist, many of them are difficult to listen to. They push and prod and confront us on our weaknesses and our failings. Yet we should make every effort to listen to them and heed their calls anyway. Because for every voice crying out in the wilderness, there are others who are called to make a change so that they can finally see the Lord dwelling in their midst, refining everything for the good. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.